From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Chloe, July 30th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from Nature News, miniaturising and modifying natural proteins with Raygun. So I was reading about this new technique called Raygun that's being used to miniaturise and modify natural proteins. It's based on a process called X-ray laser-induced protein fragmentation, which sounds more complicated than it is. Basically, it uses a super powerful X-ray laser to break down proteins into smaller pieces. This allows researchers to then reassemble and modify those pieces to create new proteins with specific functions. The study that came out recently used this technique to create a new version of a protein called IL-2, which is involved in the immune system. They were able to miniaturise it to about 1/10 the size of the original protein while still keeping its function intact. This could potentially be used to develop new treatments for diseases like cancer and autoimmune disorders. The researchers also use this technique to modify the protein structure in a way that makes it more stable and easier to produce in the lab. This is a big deal because it could make it easier and cheaper to produce these kinds of proteins for use in medicine. The study was a small one, with only a few dozen proteins being modified and tested. But the results are promising, and it's definitely worth keeping an eye on this area of research. Next, second, from Nature News, over 20,000 pre-colonial earthworks in the southwest Amazonia. Researchers used airborne LIDAR scanning across a swath of the southwest Amazon and identified more than 20,000 distinct earthworks, mostly mounds, ditches, and raised platforms that predate European contact. The mapping was systematic. The laser pulses covered the entire study area, and the resulting digital terrain models were examined by archaeologists who flagged features that matched known pre-colonial construction styles. Follow-up field visits confirmed that a representative sample of these structures were indeed human-made and not natural landforms. Radiocarbon dates from charcoal and pottery fragments collected at a handful of sites place most of the earthworks between 800 and 1500 CE, indicating they were built by complex societies that organised large-scale labour. The sheer number of features suggests a dense network of settlements and agricultural terraces, far more extensive than previously documented for this part of the Amazon basin. Because the study combined remote sensing with on-the-ground verification, the evidence is fairly robust for mapping the distribution of these constructions. However, the dating relies on a limited set of samples, so the exact chronology of the whole network remains a bit fuzzy. The authors caution that more excavation will be needed to understand the specific functions of different earthwork types. Overall, the work reshapes our picture of pre-colonial Amazonia, showing that large, organised societies were shaping the landscape long before modern maps recorded any of it. It doesn't overturn existing theories, but it does add a massive layer of detail that researchers will now have to incorporate into their models of how people lived and farmed in the region. Up next, third, from New Atlas. Antarctica's penguins carry forever chemicals in their feathers, study reveals. A recent study found that Antarctic penguins have PFAS compounds in their feathers. This is significant because PFAS, or forever chemicals, don't break down easily in the environment. The study detected 16 different types of PFAS in the penguins' feathers, which suggests that these chemicals are widespread. The researchers used a technique called gas chromatography to analyse the penguins' feathers and identify the PFAS compounds. This study is observational, meaning it didn't experimentally expose the penguins to PFAS, but rather looked for evidence of their presence. And then, fourth, from Monga Bay. How can Indigenous knowledge reshape AI development? as artificial intelligence increasingly becomes a part of ecological monitoring, a growing body of research suggests integrating indigenous ecological knowledge, IEK, into ethical frameworks for AI governance to prioritise environmental reports, contributor Shraddha Triveni for Monga Bay. Researchers in a recent study published in the journal AI and Ethics examined how the Navajo philosophy of hoju, meaning balance and harmony, and the Maori concept of kaitiakitanga, or guardianship, could reshape AI development. Next, fifth, from New Atlas, the $4,250 Andara might just be the coolest electric naked to date. The coolest thing about electric motorcycles is just how open the market is. Anyone, literally anyone, with a compelling idea, a competent engineering team, and a way to get bikes into Western showrooms has a fighting chance of becoming the next big thing. Up next, sixth from Monga Bay, the global gold rush consuming the Amazon commentary. Brazilian authorities, with Interpol's help, seized 277 gold mining dredges along the Madeira River in November 2025. The machines were worth about $6.8 million, and the raid knocked out a major hub of illegal mining, but the impact will likely fade. New dredges can be bought, miners can move, and financiers will find other routes. Satellite data from Amazon Mining Watch shows the problem is expanding fast. In 2025 alone, more than 37,000 hectares of forest were cleared for new mining, and over 14,000 hectares of that fell inside protected areas and indigenous lands, where such activity is illegal. The root causes are familiar: sparse enforcement across remote forest stretches, and a gold market that's booming. Central banks have been buying roughly 1,000 metric tons of gold each year for the past 4 years, about twice the rate of the previous decade, while investors, jewellers, and manufacturers keep demand high. All of this means the Amazon's gold rush isn't a one-off blip. It's a growing pressure that will keep resurfacing unless enforcement and market dynamics change. And then, seventh, from Science Alert. One common vitamin could lower toxic Alzheimer's proteins, research suggests. The benefits of vitamin D are many, with research suggesting it plays an important role in several facets of our health, from boosting our immunity to helping us counter harmful diseases. As long as we don't have too much of it, vitamin D is an essential part of a healthy body. Next. Eighth, from Science Alert. Like an ancient turducken, fossil captures Cretaceous sea monsters devouring each other. The evidence comes from a single, well-preserved fossil from Australia's Cretaceous Erromanga Sea, examined with neutron tomography that revealed stomach contents. Inside a 6-7 metre ichthyosaur, researchers identified fish, squid fragments, and two pieces of a pterosaur jaw, showing the marine reptile ate a flying reptile. The same specimen bears extensive crushing bite marks on vertebrae and ribs, indicating it was quickly attacked after swallowing the pterosaur. Those injuries match the bite force of the giant pliosaur Kronosaurus, the only known predator large enough to cause such damage. This find gives the first direct snapshot of a three-level marine food chain: pterosaur, ichthyosaur, and pliosaur. Up next, ninth, from Deconstructionology with Jim Palmer. The work needs practitioners. The Existential Health Practitioner Training and Certification Programme is a year-long programme that's not just about learning information, but about formation and developing the presence, discernment, and relational capacities needed to accompany others through life's deepest questions. It's not a self-paced online course, but a cohort model where participants journey together, engaging in live seminars, thoughtful discussion, and reflective practice. The programme is designed to help shape the emerging field of existential health, and by the end of the year, graduates leave with a certificate, and as part of a community of practitioners who have learned together and contributed to the field. The programme is not about offering people a new ideology or belief system, but about creating conditions for people to encounter themselves and their lives with greater honesty, courage, compassion, and clarity. It's deeply relational work that requires careful listening, disciplined presence, emotional maturity, and an appreciation for the many ways human beings search for meaning. The diversity of participants is one of the things that makes the programme unique, with people from various backgrounds and professions coming together to learn and grow. Enrolment is now open for the fall programme, which is an opportunity to become part of the founding generation of practitioners, helping shape an emerging field devoted to one of the most important dimensions of human flourishing. The need for practitioners prepared to accompany people through life's deeper dimensions is growing, and this programme is designed to prepare those practitioners. And then, 10th, from Deconstructionology with Jim Palmer, the Work Needs Practitioners. Over the past several weeks, I completed Volume 1 of the Existential Health White Papers. Across 10 papers, I set out to answer a question that has quietly guided much of my work over the past several years. What if there is an important dimension of human flourishing that has never been clearly named, systematically studied, or intentionally cultivated? The response from readers has been deeply encouraging. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. New here? Grab your own free feed at storyflow.com. It only takes a few seconds.